Well, I invite you to grab the Pew Bible from in front of you and follow along with our scripture reading. The bulletin tells you that our scripture reading is Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55, but I'm going to start just a few verses before that at verse 39 and read through verse 56. I encourage you to follow along. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord, that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God indeed. Well, there is something that is powerful and compelling about song, and at no time of year is this more true than at Christmas. So this morning we are continuing our Advent sermon series and taking a look at one of the first songs of Christmas found in Scripture, Mary's song of praise found in Luke chapter 1. Next week, we will look at Zechariah's song of prophecy, and on Christmas Eve, we will join in the song of the angels. Have you ever noticed that there are times in life when we are so overwhelmed with the magnitude of what's going on, whether good or bad, that all we can do is resort to song? Sometimes we break out in singing ourselves. Sometimes we immerse ourselves in the songs of others. Mary experienced that very thing when she encountered her cousin Elizabeth so long ago. And as we look at this magnificent song of Christmas, we will see that we can join Mary's song when we recognize and embrace our role in God's Advent today. Would you please pray with me? Lord God, it's easy to sit in this room behind these walls, behind the stained glass, and almost forget that there is a world outside that is in desperate need of a Savior, that doesn't even realize that they are crying out, "How long until you save us?" As we hear the sirens from across the street heading out to come to someone's aid, Lord, we pray that you would bless those rescuers, those first responders. We pray for whatever that need is to which they are responding. But we also remember, Lord, that we have a need in our souls for you, for our Savior. We find ourselves, Lord, overwhelmed by the magnitude of grace you have given to us, till our hearts overflow and we burst out in song. But Lord, that song is meant to be shared. So as we look at your word this morning, Lord, would you show us the role and part we have to play in your advent, in your coming? Not just once a year as we get ready for December 25th, Lord, but every day and every week. Open our hearts and our minds Open our ears, Lord, to hear the soft sound of your son's sandaled feet. It is in the name of that Jewish rabbi that we pray this morning. Amen. Well, as we've mentioned before, I genuinely don't know of a season or holiday that is as shaped and defined by song as Christmas, as the Christmas season. In fact, I had a conversation just before worship talking about those songs and how for some of us, when we don't get to sing our favorite carols, it's like Christmas hasn't happened. I mean, is there another season of the year that is like that? Now, don't get me wrong. I know that we all have our favorite patriotic hymns and songs for Memorial Day and the 4th of July, and we certainly have our favorite beloved Easter hymns, but when was the last time you broke out the St. Patrick's Day music for the weeks leading up to that holiday? How many of you tuned in to your favorite 24-hour Labor Day music station in August? No? It's so weird. What is it about Christmas that makes it unique in this way? Someone once said that we need artists because artists express the inexpressible. They express for us what sometimes we cannot express for ourselves. And the simple truth is there are few mysteries as difficult to express in words as the wonder of the incarnation, the miracle of God himself being born as a baby. We have had 2,000 years to try to wrap our collective minds around it, and we still struggle to make sense of it. Imagine if you were the one that God had chosen to bear this child into the world. And then imagine being a teenage girl on top of that. How could you possibly express what you're thinking and feeling? How would you explain to someone else what's happening? Words are not enough. Words cannot be enough. So what does Mary do? Mary immediately heads off to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who has also been blessed with a miraculous pregnancy. Elizabeth, who is getting along in years, who has never been able to have a child, suddenly finds herself pregnant as well. And at the sound of Mary's voice, Elizabeth's baby jumps for joy inside her, and filled with the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth proclaims a blessing on Mary. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. How is it possible that Elizabeth had any clue what had happened to Mary? They didn't have Facebook. There was no text messaging. She couldn't send out a tweet. Mary didn't send her a snap on Snapchat. They didn't have any of that stuff back then. This affirmation from her cousin must have meant the world to Mary and confirmed for her the reality of what she knew to be true, that her vision of the angel actually did happen. What becomes apparent in the passage about the angel's visit with Mary, this song, and the other passages in which Mary appears, is that she was a very devout, pious young woman. She loved her Lord. She loved his word. She loved the stories contained therein. She paid attention to her elders and rabbis. She had absorbed the lessons that they had taught her. You see, a song like this, commonly known today by its first word in Latin, Magnificat, does not spring out of nothing, out of thin air. Mary, filled with awe at what God has chosen her to do, reaches down into a deep well of faith to find the words in an effort to express the inexpressible. Her opening words express her profound love for her God. "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Glorifying God and rejoicing in Him. Does that sound familiar? What, again, is the chief end of man? That's right, it's Westminster pop quiz time. The chief end of man is... That was terrible. Come on, this is awesome stuff. Let's try this one more time with feeling. The chief end of man is? Fully to enjoy Him forever. To glorify God and fully to enjoy Him forever. And why is Mary able to do that very thing? She continues on. "For He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed." Why does she glorify God and rejoice in Him? Because He has been mindful of her. The word the NIV translates as mindful means to look intently, to pay close attention to look attentively at, with the implication of personal concern for someone. Who is Mary that God would be mindful of her? She's just a girl, a maiden of no repute, quietly yet faithfully serving her God day after day. And yet this very God of the universe, who saved His people from Egypt, who brought them and gave them the promised land, who has done such amazing and wondrous miracles in the past, was mindful of Mary. And because of this mindfulness, generations to come will and have and continue to call her blessed. The incredible thing here, though, brothers and sisters, is that as mindful as God was of Mary, He is just as mindful of you. God looks attentively to you with personal concern for you and your well-being. And while I know many of you in this room have accomplished great things in your lifetime, the truth is that all of us are in a humble state. None of us deserve this loving attention that God bestows on us. Our brokenness, our sinfulness, our inability to love as we ought, frankly, should keep us from receiving this divine attention. And yet, He is ever so very mindful of our comings and our goings, of our doings and thinkings, and He loves us, loves you, so very much. Not because we deserve it, but because He desires it. Mary continues on to the second stanza of the song. "For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation." Given the snow this past week, I had plenty of time to reflect on this song in preparation for this sermon. And I found this particular stanza to be, on one hand, very interesting and also very confusing. Mary explains that all generations will call her blessed because God has done great things for her. Well, let's see. Let's refresh ourselves for just a moment on the context of Mary's life at the moment that she is singing this song. She is an engaged and therefore not yet married teenage girl who has become pregnant, but not by her fiancé. So God's mindfulness of her has thrust her into a very controversial circumstance, risking ostracizing and the rejection of her community. Kind of hard to see how God has done great things for her, isn't it? And yet, Mary does indeed see this as a very great thing, and she praises God for His holiness. Thinking about this reminded me of what happened to St. Teresa of Avila. After being thrown from her cart, falling in a puddle of mud and breaking her leg, she calls out to the Lord, "Dear Lord, if this is how you treat your friends, it's no wonder you have so few." Or when Tevye cries out in Fiddler on the Roof, "God, I know we're your chosen people, but do you think you could choose someone else for a little while?" There are just times when we wonder if God's mindfulness of us really is a good thing, let alone a great thing. Sometimes we look around at the pain and the mediocrity of our lives and we wonder, why isn't it any better? Why is this happening to me? Or we replace the more and better life we've ever dreamed of that Jesus promised with the whitewashed hope of the American dream. But maybe there's a bigger picture that we're missing. Maybe the American dream is a dream too little, too small. Maybe if we join with Mary in following God, even when it leads into controversy and potential rejection, we might just see a glimpse of that bigger picture. Be able to see how God's acts are merciful to those who fear Him. That, of course, is the key, is it not? God is merciful to those who fear Him. Do we really fear God? The third stanza of Mary's song picks up on this theme. Mary moves from focusing on God's mighty acts and mindfulness of her individually, and she begins to sing about what God has done in and through history. And she does this by contrasting His merciful acts to those who fear Him against how He's humbled those who do not fear Him. She sings, "He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty." God scatters the proud. He brings down rulers. He sends the rich away empty. But He performs mighty deeds. He lifts up the humble. He fills the hungry with good things. Here we see a central theme of Luke's gospel, and one that recurs frequently in both the Old and the New Testaments, that God has a special place in His heart for the poor, the hungry, the downcast, the rejected, the despised, the hated, the hurting. God always cheers for the underdog. The proud and rich and rulers in their arrogance do not fear God. And fear in this context means to have a profound respect for Him, a reverence, something that the humble do have, because the humble know that everything they have comes from God and from God alone. Truly, without God, they have nothing. And so in this, we have an invitation to follow God in even this. As James writes in his letter, real religion, the kind that passes muster before God the Father, is this: reach out to the homeless and loveless in their plight, and guard against corruption from the godless world. Are we, with selfless abandon, reaching out to the homeless and the loveless, to the hurting and those who are struggling? Are we doing this as individuals and as a community? Now, we are doing a lot of great things in this church. You all, it is, amazes me the things that you are involved in and support and the impact that this little church is having, not just here in Amherst County, but around the world as well. We actively support with our time and with our money, gleaning for the world and neighbors helping neighbors. You have given generously and abundantly to ministries locally and internationally, provided school supplies and warm clothes to those who otherwise would go without right here in Madison Heights and halfway around the world in Uganda. It's amazing to see. But in the midst of what we have done, I think it's fair to ask, is that really all we can do? Is that all we could do? Sometimes, don't we do these things just to make ourselves feel a little bit better? Is there not more that ought to be done? Mary concludes her song with a beautiful reminder that God's acts in her life, the incarnation of Christ, is God being faithful to remember His promises and fulfill the covenant that He made with Abraham thousands of years before this moment. She sings, "He has helped His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as He said to our fathers." You see, brothers and sisters, God is always faithful to the promises that He makes. God always comes through. God never changes His mind when circumstances change or when the going gets tough. He is faithful and true, and He is committed to the mission that He has set forth. This is God's promise to be present in the future. And we're invited to join Him in fulfilling the promises of the covenant made with Abraham so long ago. He has invited us to take part in this amazing, miraculous work of bearing Him into a world of darkness and hopelessness. How many of our co-workers and our neighbors, perhaps even our own family members, hate this season because of the pain that comes with it? They cannot see the hope and the joy. They do not know the gifts of life and peace that Christ gave the world through Mary so long ago, because they only know the gifts of greed and selfishness that the world has to offer. And you and I are invited, just like the angels invited Mary, to give them something else this Christmas, something truly life-transforming. Amidst all of the gifts that we are giving, are we being intentional to make sure we are giving that gift as well? Brothers and sisters, may God bless each one of us this Advent as we seek to join Mary in her song, when we recognize and embrace our role as humble recipients of His divine mindfulness, having been invited to do great things with Him, sharing in His mission to the poor, the hungry, the hurting, and being partners in God's Advent today and in the future. Amen. Would you please pray with me? Lord God, it is overwhelming to think that You have been mindful of us, and that You would have invited us to be Your hands and feet in sharing Your hope and life with this world around us. Thank You, Lord, for sending Your Holy Spirit to fill us, to equip us, to enable us to serve You faithfully. May we follow Mary's example and delight and enjoy all that You are doing for us, and share that joy and delight with those around us who don't yet know. In Your Son's precious and holy name we pray. Amen.